It's a Ben Fred Friday. That means we have the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Always fun to visit with Ben. And you know what, Ben? This is brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty, as you well know. And they're protecting your rights and defending our freedoms. And you can find them at 645-4400, 645-4400, or stlcriminaldefense.com. I miss 1 week with you, and I put you with Raby, and everything goes to hell. Just went to haywire last week, so I got to come back and do this.
Well, I thought you maybe heard us have so much fun, and you figured you better rush back.
I did.
Before we figured out we were having more fun without you. But
yeah, that's actually the truth.
In the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah, it's actually the truth. Let's just be honest. You guys did a great job, and I appreciate you pinch hitting. I had a day off, and I had some things going on with the kids and some personal stuff, so I appreciate you checking in with Chris Raby. Let's jump right into it. You know, the Cardinals have 22 games left. They come out of a really dangerous, what could have been horrific homestand, taking 3-4 against Cincinnati, 3-4 against the Giants. Wound up being a great homestand for the Cardinals.
Man, they are playing great baseball, and we know what their shaky areas are. And they're finding ways to protect against them. You know, the offense is scoring a ton of runs. The bullpen is finding a way. It's had some ups and downs lately, but it seems like every time a guy is on the rocks a little bit, somebody else comes forward and takes that load away. And then, you know, look at the rotation. They've got questions about their fifth starter. There's no question there, but look at what the other guys have done around it. Michael Wacha has been strong at times, and you saw in the one of the only two losses in that homestand how that can kind of turn on the Cardinals when he doesn't pitch well or when he gets pulled early and it turns it over to the bullpen. But man, if that's the biggest complaint that you have right now, it means everything else is clicking. And from the offense, I think the lineup really locked in at this homestand. We saw these guys getting kind of comfortable in this role, and then you look at what Jack Flaherty has done. I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball right now. Make a case that he's not. And then a guy like Dakota Hudson, who is just kind of becoming the perfect number two punch to Jack Flaherty, they're in a good spot. With what Adam Wainwright is doing at home, and he's starting to you know, ramp it up again after he had some starts that looked like he was searching a little bit. They're gonna cross their fingers with this starting pitching and hope that it holds. But when the lineup is scoring 6-plus runs a game, then you're not as worried as about the pitching as much.
Yeah, I really believe, and I've said this with you, and we've talked about it privately, I think in this stretch, and I've said for the final 4 to 6 weeks, the key is Michaelis. If you can get Michaelis back to being where he was a year ago, now we're talking. I mean, Flaherty, as you mentioned, best pitcher in baseball right now. Hudson, right on his heels. Wainwright at home, I love it. If you can get Michaelis going, man, oh, man, this is a dangerous, real dangerous team, regardless of what the offense does, because they can pitch
and defend. I mean, you were the first person that I heard mention it, the stat about first from worst to first in errors, and they're on pace to do it. They're likely going to do it. I know Derek Gould is working on a story kind of diving into what that really means, but I don't want to give his research away, but between the two of you guys are onto an important story. And also, you know, the fact that it's incredibly rare, I'll just put it that way, if they were able to pull that off. So yeah, if you can have four guys in the rotation firing, then it's not the worst thing in the world to have a collection of arms that you can throw at that fifth. That means you're not using the bullpen as much when those other guys start, so you can really maximize your bullpen day. I like what they're doing with Ryan Helsley. I see them kind of, he's basically become the ghost starter for Michael Wacha. You look at the innings pitched between those two guys since Ryan Helsley returned, and you're kind of starting to see how they're using him there. You don't need five for the postseason. You need four good ones. And if Michaelis can do it, then they've got four good ones, you know, depending on how locked in Adam Wainwright is. And, you know, I think as he gets closer to the postseason, you're going to see him start to, you know, just show that grit and that determination that has made him have a good year. I mean, a lot of people were ready to leave Adam Wainwright, you know, take him out to pasture at the beginning of this season. When you actually look at that contract that he was given, you know, the incentive-laden, low guaranteed deal, he's he's been a value deal for the Cardinals. So he's gonna start, you know, locking in on the postseason. I think you saw a glimpse of that the last time out. But you're right, Michaelis is huge, and the big thing with him is like it's just a matter of fine details for him. That's the difference between him going out and getting shelled and him going out and pitching a complete game. His stuff is, it's if he can throw the five pitches, it's if he's, you know, on the right part of the strike zone. His command is so fine-tuned that if he's a little bit off, it can look really bad. But it also means that he can be, you know, really off and then be locked in the next time out. And when he is, he can go round for round with any guy in the league, with any guy on this staff. If he can get back to being that guy that he was last year, and you're not very far away, then you're right. This rotation looks very, very good headed into the postseason.
I'm going to say something that I think gets overlooked in the ballgame today because it was lopsided. But Genesis Cabrera, I've always felt in watching him from the first time I saw him in spring training this year, and his future, you know, some believe is his starter, some believe is a reliever. I've always felt it's a reliever. And after what I saw today, that's got to make you stop in your tracks and say, what do we have here in this lefty? What do we have? We got 22 games, but what do we have here? Is this a weapon that maybe we find out about as we go down the stretch? I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but what do you think?
Well, I think he's got some really good stuff for basically being the pitch in case of emergency guy. And that's more or less what Mike Schilt kind of begrudgingly admitted he is at this moment. But look, those roles you have until you pitch your way out of them. Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he maybe showed himself a little bit better.
Demand another shot. Look, he pounded the strike zone all day today.
Right.
And he's throwing nasty stuff. There's a place for that, especially if you don't like to predict injuries, Dan, but something's going to happen to this staff at some point. There's going to be someone who plateaus. There's going to be someone who gets hurt. It just happens. Look across baseball. Look at what happened to Kimbrel today with the Cubs. Arms start to show signs of wear this month, headed into the postseason. Having a guy like Cabrera, who is basically, you know, sitting around trying to prove he deserves more opportunity, not a bad thing to have. I'd say the same thing about a guy like Junior Fernandez and some of these other guys like Daniel Ponce de Leon, who are, you know, itching for more chances. A lot of teams have, you know, have pitching that falls apart. I would say a lot of teams don't have the kind of intriguing depth the Cardinals have. Now, is it as good as certainty? No, but better to have some intriguing options than nothing. And that's kind of where the Cubs are feeling they are right now.
Henderson and Watercutty, full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in both Missouri and Illinois. And that means state, federal, and municipal courts. In addition, criminal defense practice, they also assist people facing orders of protection, probation violations, sanctions by the nursing board, discipline by a college or university. All you have to do is go to their website, very easily navigate their website with all different types of violations, and they can help you out. I also feel this past week, we brought it up on the telecast 3 nights ago, and I said, you know, at what point does the national media and narrative change that Mike Schilt needs to get some consideration here for Manager of the Year? You know how much I like him personally. I think he does a great job professionally. But Brian Snicker, he's won it before. Dave Roberts, expected to win. Dave Martinez, pretty loaded team, expected to win, and now they're finally doing it. He might get it. With Mike Schilt, with what he's got, and you'd have to dive into it. Worst to first in defense. Stolen bases. Base running in general, top three. The fact that they weren't predicted to win. I saw Ken Rosenthal, finally, one of the national writers, say, hey, we need to take a look at this guy. And I can go on and on. The emergence of Wong, emergence of Fowler. I think it coincides with Mike Schilt. I think he's the manager of the year. If they win, they've got to win. But if they do, I think he's the manager of the year. What do you think?
I think it's a great argument. It certainly is going to get people talking because the Cardinals, it's weird to say this, Dan, but the Cardinals are in this place where they're almost overlooked. You know, you think about the All-Star game and that they were one of two teams to not have a player selected for the All-Star game by fans or the players. Paul DeJong got there, deservingly so. Look at what he's done now, just hit his career high, 26th home run on Thursday. But he had to be selected by the commissioner's office. So perhaps the Cardinals, you know, it's now looking like they are, you know, they were a bit, you know, under discussed as this season went along. They played themselves into that conversation that includes Mike Schilt. You know, I would throw in the fact that depending on how you view this division, you can make a case that it's certainly been the most competitive in baseball. So shouldn't the team that wins that division, the most competitive in baseball, arguably, shouldn't that manager be in consideration? Joe Madden has made that case, has won him the manager of the year before. You would think that the same argument could be applied to Mike Schilt. I think that we are probably more aware of what he has done than perhaps the national folks, but then it's our job to point to it. And it's not just the wins, it's kind of some of the things that you hinted at. It's the reactions, the production that he's gotten from some of these players. And then also I would throw in too the play that he's got from this team after the trade deadline. That was a manager moment, Dan. When your front office says, look, we want to be buyers, we feel like this team needs to prove to us that we should be buyers, the team goes out, does exactly that. The front office comes back and says, we tried, but we didn't find a way to get a deal done. And then it's on Mike Schilt to go figure out how to deliver that message. And what you don't want to do as a manager is walk in and say, well, guys, they didn't think you were good enough, so go get them. No, he said, I'm going to go in there and say, you know, they believe in us. And was there some salesmanship there? Sure, a good manager has to be able to do that. And I think that Schilt has been strong in a lot of areas. He's been strong in how he delivers his message. He's been strong in rallying guys. You can pick, and I know people will, about his, you know, tendency to give certain guys benefit to the doubts, and that's part of the human touch that comes with the job. But I would also look at some of the painful, tough changes he has made, moving Matt Carpenter to the bench, and some of the things that he's done analytically. You know, so look at the uptick in shifts, look at the defensive philosophy changes that have led to the fewest errors in baseball. You mentioned stolen bases. How about stolen base percentage? It wasn't that long ago that these guys were running around like chickens with their head cut off, and they just refused to adapt. And it was one of the things that John Mozeliak really talked about, really frustrated him watching this team. Well, that's gone now. You know, you can get on the Cardinals for certain players not performing or certain things, but there aren't too many times watching this season where you've just said, oh, man, that was a dumb baseball play. They don't make many of those anymore.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why you can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
So I give Mike a lot of credit. He said that in day one. We need to clean it up, and they have done that. So they go to Pittsburgh starting tonight, and then an off day on Monday, and then it's Colorado. Never fun to play there, but I would imagine a little bit better to go there with rosters having been expanded, and you feel a little bit more protected in your bullpen. In terms of the lineup, you know, the Cardinals, and you mentioned they were just pounding the baseball, and they did it really without their number four hitter. Marcell Ozuna was not really a factor in this homestand, with the exception of the big home run to win one game, 1-0, the Flaherty game. But outside of that, he was pretty quiet.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. They've had examples of Ozuna and Goldschmidt hitting together at the same time here recently, but when that kind of tapers off, they didn't exactly crumble and turn into dust. I think the big thing has been some of the production from the top part of the lineup. You know, having Colton Wong and Dexter Fowler up there, I think, has finally given this lineup a sense of identity. The Cardinals were one of the worst teams at the leadoff position all season until Dexter got going up there. And, you know, if there's one nit to pick with Mike Shildes, that I think you should have moved Wong up sooner. You know, I thought this argument that he was going to fall apart if he was moved was bogus based on what we'd seen from him this season. And they move him up, and what's he doing? He's creating havoc and hitting, which is what he's done all year when he's been healthy. And I think that's a really good look. You're right. Some of the cylinders have misfired a little bit in this homestand. Look at Harrison Bader. After that, you know, he went gangbusters when he came back, and he's silent, been pretty quiet since then. But enough guys are still churning, like Paul DeJong, who's homered for the second consecutive game now, and I think it was the sixth time this season. I think that's a guy that we don't talk about enough, Dan. I mean, when you look at what he's done, and it's kind of crazy to me that there's been so much said about shortstops in the game and this young crop of great shortstops in baseball, but Paul DeJong's hardly ever mentioned in that conversation nationally, and it's crazy. When you look at the fact that he's going to finish this season with the second most home runs by a homegrown Cardinal in his first three seasons, and the only guy in front of him, some guy named Albert Pujols, that's pretty impressive. He's now broken the record for home runs by a Cardinal shortstop in back-to-back seasons. You look at what he's done in terms of home runs and defensive runs saved during his first three seasons of the league, and look who else is in that category. We're talking Javier Baez, we're talking Trevor Story, and there's not too many other guys in that conversation. I mean, he's putting up big numbers. He's having a career season offensively, and his defense has become something that the bat, you know, was supposed to overpower to something that's been elite. So when he's going, and he is right now, he always ticks up in September. Then he helps, you know, he helps lift the lineup. Yadier Molina, for everybody who was, you know, wanted to see him sit because he didn't hit the first 10 games he was back from a hand injury, he's starting to get it going. He's so hard to get out. He makes this lineup, you know, better because he sees a ton of pitches. And I think that's something that I was talking with Paul DeJong on Thursday, that he thinks like they really have going right now. They've got a good mix of a lineup that helps each other. He can go up there and, you know, or, you know, someone can go up there and see 10 bats and the next guy hits a first at bat home run. Things like, you know, they're all locked in and feeding off of each other. And I think they're a more dangerous group because of that.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit, too, about the Missouri Tigers and dive into that. Boy, was last weekend about as big a, you know, you say, man, that's a big disappointment. They've had a bunch of them. I mean, if you're a Tiger fan, there's been a lot of them. But, man, yeah. Last weekend was a big one, wasn't it?
Never good when you're breaking up the power ranking of crushing Mizzou football losses. And this belongs in that conversation. There's no lipstick to put on that pig, man. You have a season that has been hyped for a long time. You have a quarterback whose debut everyone is eagerly anticipating. You have this cupcake of a schedule that really lays out for you to be in great shape headed into what should be a massive game at Georgia. And then you even have the games that happen Saturday. You look around and see Tennessee lose to a terrible team. You look around and see Kentucky really kind of struggle with a team that it should have been. You see South Carolina lose to North Carolina, a rebuilding North Carolina team. Vanderbilt gets smoked by Georgia. I mean, and you start to see how the East is ripe after Georgia, and you see what could be there for Mizzou, and they go out and just immediately end that conversation with a really inexplicable loss at Wyoming for so many reasons. A, you've got to be better than Wyoming. I know you're playing on the road in a tough environment, but if you're in the SEC, that's a game you need to win. And two, the Tigers even started well. They were up 14-0, and then they have one play go wrong where, you know, Kelly Bryant fumbles a ball that's returned for a touchdown. And once again, Missouri is sucked into this whirlpool of of just kind of panic-stricken mistake-making that they don't pull themselves out of until it's too late. I think that's the most frustrating thing. They played well to start the game. They played okay to finish the game. But this moment in the middle where they just completely panic, and this is something that has haunted them. Going back to South Carolina last season, there are games before that. They have these problems. When something goes wrong, they turn the next mistake into the next to the next to the next. And it, in some ways, to use a baseball analogy, it reminds me of like an over-rushed infielder. Like a guy who botches a ground ball, but instead of making the next right play, he throws it over the first baseman's head. And Missouri did that for, you know, the entire middle of the game. And by the time they got their composure, they were fighting up the hills that was so tall, they didn't have time to get there by the end. And this is a problem. I mean, this is something that Barry Odom has to fix. And they turned the ball over three times. They created zero turnovers. They got gashed by huge touchdown runs of 50-plus 60 yards. They missed tackles. They blew assignments. These are mental and just simple fundamental mistakes that if you make, you're going to lose to Wyoming, and you're also going to lose to every other team you play. So I hate to say Mizzou beat itself. Wyoming certainly took advantage of the opportunity. But Missouri had a lot more talent on that field, and they were in their own heads, I think, too much of the game.
What was your impression of Kelly Bryant?
I thought he was good, not great. Look, he's being asked to do a lot. He had a career game in terms of passing yards. I think we saw certainly his desire and his leadership. He chased down a guy after a fumble and kept him from scoring a touchdown. I think you saw his will to win. He also made some bad mistakes. He fumbled in a costly spot. He made a bad throw that got picked off, kind of thrown on the run across his body. He can be better. And that's not to knock him for that game, but I think you're seeing the fact that he can move a little bit. I'd like to see him run a little bit more. And I like what we saw from his arm, but they were asking him to be perfect in that game. You don't pin the loss on him, but if he's going to be, you know, the savior that Missouri hopes he could be this season, then he's got to eliminate some of those easy mistakes.
What do you think about this weekend then with West Virginia coming to Columbia?
Well, I picked Missouri to win. I don't necessarily think they'll cover, and I have no confidence in my pick whatsoever. I mean, I think we're going to get a better baseline based off of how they respond. West Virginia, for people who think that's a crazy prediction, check out West Virginia. They labored to beat James Madison, which is a good lower-tier team, but, I mean, it took a hefty effort from West Virginia to beat James Madison last week. And the other thing, too, is they have lost their head coach. They got a new head coach. They've lost their quarterback who went on to the NFL. They've lost most of their top pass catchers. And you know, it's a new-look West Virginia team that doesn't have that offensive firepower. Missouri is at home. I think it's going to be somewhat of a subdued home opener because I know there are people who will not be interested in turning out to see this team after a loss to Wyoming. And that was really what made the loss in Wyoming that much worse, Dan, is that it came right before the stretch of five consecutive home games for the Tigers, which is like unprecedented in college football, and it put a bit of a damper on it. So beat West Virginia and things may be clear a little bit. They will certainly be, I think, you know, motivated, and Barry Odom, to his credit, has been good. When his teams take a punch in the mouth, they tend to respond. They have to do it. It's critical that they do it for the rest of the season, that they come out and put a good impression up at home.
And then finally, how cool are some of these stories about where the Stanley Cup has been with the Hall of Famers or Bob Plager or the coaching staff? These have been amazing, and training camp right around the corner.
Yeah, I think it's great, and the party is going to kind of keep rolling into the season. I mean, you've got the practice facility opening up to the public on Saturday. I think, you know, I heard a story about Pat Maroon being at one of the private cup events the day after he was announced to be going to the Lightning. So that kind of speaks to, you know, what he's about, and just kind of the sense that it is, you know, this is bigger than where a guy plays the next season. It was still and still is a special moment there. I know there was another private party, you know, on Thursday night. So it's making the rounds. I saw it at one of the elementary schools. Probably the highlight, right, is seeing Bobby Plager take you to his brother Barkley's grave.
And that's where I was going, yeah.
And original gangster pouring one out, you know, on the gravesite. I think shirts should be made of that. That would be an epic must-have shirt. But what a cool thing for him to get that moment, and just all of the little kind of all of the little stories that have come out, and the Blues have done, to their credit, a great job of showing them and kind of going along for the ride. But pretty cool, man, and certainly well deserved. And it's kind of crazy to think, but you know, it's so hard to repeat, Dan. It's so hard to win the dang thing in the first place, and it is so hard to win it twice for all the different reasons, including the fact that you played so many more games. But you know, consider this: they're bringing that whole team back, except for Pat Maroon, who, while he was glorious and you know, the self-proclaimed and accurately proclaimed hometown hero in the playoffs, he wasn't all that good during the season. They've got some younger guys who can fill that role if all things go according to plan. This is going to be a team that returns everybody, returns the best players from last season now that Barbashev is under contract for two more years. And it's not bringing the band back together with a bunch of old guys. These are young guys still in the prime of their careers. So I imagine it'll take them a while to get going. But when they hit the heart of the season, I think they're still going to be a pretty dangerous team.
Absolutely. Ben, always fun to visit with you, and let's see what the Cardinals can do this weekend here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, man, it sounds so good. I mean, we're usually kind of critical, I feel like, but there's so much good going on with baseball-wise that I feel like I'm all happy talk, but Mizzou kind of brought us down.
You're the one that's critical. Let's make that clear, and I'm just a rights holder, and that's
right.
What
yeah,
I do.
You're just happy and rainbows, and you really have to lean on Jim Hayes to be the critical one, I've realized.
Yeah, there's a lot of lollipops around here.
All right, man. Have a safe trip. Get home safe.
All right, buddy. Thanks. I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.